sports, news, and entertainment covered with some middle ground common sense right here with the Smart Guys.
And that's where we bring in foreclosure defense attorney Charles Walsh on walshonlegal.com. Mr. Stephen Schwartz, he, of course, a business aficionado, entrepreneur extraordinaire. At Stevie Green, check it all out on Twitter, MrDumble.com. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. We say a very good morning to the smart guys. And that's where we try and make some common sense out of things in our lives, no question about it. Good morning, Charles. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Jay. Morning,
Jay. Good to have you. Good morning. Hope all is well. So much going on here. Let's get into the... You know, this Liz Cheney thing, this has, you know, it's one of those situations where it's snowballed to the point where you have a full-blown avalanche right now as far as the Republican Party is concerned. And listen, truth be told, Cheney has taken every opportunity she has had to take shots at Donald Trump. You know, the whole stolen election narrative and everything else, and basically, you know, that's it. Guys like Kevin McCarthy don't want to hear anything anymore, and that's why you have Lee Stefanik waiting in the wings. So, in essence, the party imploding as we speak. Will it be able to rebuild and everything else? Midterms, even the next election, who knows? But right now, it's a very murky picture of how the GOP is going about its business. Charles, let me start with you. Give me your viewpoint regarding Cheney, Stefanik, McCarthy, Trump. Where are we at with this party right now? And could it get back to where it was way back? That's the big question going forward.
You know, it's funny that you ask this, because yesterday I had a conversation with my friend and also childhood friend, also Schwartz's childhood friend. We all grew up together. A guy named David Barron, who's probably one of the smartest guys. We were talking about this. And all she's doing is complaining about the fact that all her fellow Republicans, even though she doesn't think they're really Republicans, they are Republicans. They're doing the math. And it's exactly what Lindsey Graham said. He said, I'm doing the math. We don't win without this guy. We don't win. We can't get people, not the fact that they need him because we like him, because he gets that end of the party off the couch, which is the same reason the Democrats keep wackos like Maxine Waters around, because people will get off the couch and vote. So all the Republican Party is doing right now is they're adding it up, and they're saying, we don't win without this guy. This is not personal. They don't like him. And if they could get rid of him and have somebody else motivate the base, they would. It's just, he's the guy. He's the guy with the biggest mouth, and he appeals to that brand of moron that likes his nonsense. And I don't mean his policies. I mean his style. Because he's not really, he's barking probably more moderate policies and more common sense policies than the Republicans have had in a million years since they started. You don't hear him talking about like that crazy stuff about evolution where George Bush, too, said the jury's out on that one. Really? Jury's out on evolution? Really? I don't think so. For all these crazy things, he doesn't pander to the religious right. Trump doesn't do any of those things. He actually makes sense sometimes. But his brand of politics is so disgusting and so un-American, I can't get behind it. And most Republicans can't get behind it either, but the ones that do get off the couch and vote. So my take on this is they're doing the math and doing the logical thing.
You know, Steve, I kind of look at this, and, you know, it's kind of like Dick Cheney comes to mind, because we know the influence that a former VP had on George Bush. Huge influence behind the scenes. And I can't help but think the same type of influence is trickling into the head of Liz Cheney. I mean, it seems to be kind of a common denominator of Dick Cheney in both areas there. And that's what we're seeing right now. And I think that's why the vitriol is out there with her against the former president. What's your take?
Well, I like what Charlie said. I mean, I think it really is about the numbers. So I think the numbers have a lot to play with the direction that they go in. I think that they hate themselves. I think that they're actually like, holding their noses, and they're like, oh, they're going, oh, God, I just can't believe that we still can't get out of the Donald Trump era. And the Republican Party is a very, very scary party because they really don't have a leader to go forward, like Charlie was saying. But, you know, it would be more constructive to get this group together, okay, without you know, polluting the whole Republican Party, which is what's really going to happen here. It's almost like a civil war right in the Republican Party that we're actually sitting here watching. We're watching different facets of a Republican Party that need to come together. The country needs the Republican Party. So I am very pro-Cheney. I am. I agree with her, but she's just not powerful enough, or she's not getting through. Common sense is not getting through here at all. So, you know, you've got the crazies that are going to keep this banter up, and they've got a lot of them. And you've got the common sense Republicans that really want their party back that have been hijacked by the Trump lunatics. So at the end of the day, you know what? This is going to continue to play itself out, and odds are the loudest person in the room is still Trump. And if you had a debate tomorrow and you put Trump out there with 12 of these so-called Republican candidates, he would still be the guy in the middle. He would still be, he'd probably bring back all the ratings on every single national coverage of CNN, MSNBC, Fox, and whatever. He'd be front page news again. And we're back in it. So I hope that the country solves the problem before we get to see another Trump circus in 2024.
And Charles, as I'll say, and I said it last week, that's your ticket. Unless something goes awry, it's Trump / DeSantis in 2024. And DeSantis has really gained a lot of steam and everything else. Listen, he did what he did on Fox last week regarding signing that piece of legislation, regarding voting and everything else. But nonetheless, you know, he's the rising star right now. It's not a Kristi Noem out of South Dakota. It's not Pompeo. It's not, Nikki Haley. In my opinion, it's DeSantis. He's the perfect number two to go along with the one and therefore take over the party in 2028 completely. I mean, that's my take. Unless there's something in mystery that awaits, I can't see it any other way. What about you?
And, you know, at this point, after you say, you know, Trump and it doesn't even matter who you put in that slot, I don't know if DeSantis is going to wait around for him. He's got, you know, I don't even think DeSantis is that smart a choice, because Florida's already in the bag. Always been in the bag for the Republicans, especially for Trump. I go down there all the time. Central Florida, you don't see. You could drive 100 miles in any direction. You don't see a Pence anything. That's just the way it is. I can't get my arms around all of this because it's really like shameful that a party that, like, I can't even get the words out. That I really look to the conservative fiscally. Things that, you know, that they've stopped the Constitution from running amok, you know, Supreme Court running away with making everything a giveaway. And it's like, I really look to these people, and now they're a ship without a rudder, going full steam into who knows what. This, I scratch my head. I don't know what to say about it.
Listen, I scratch my head right now when I look at some numbers. 63% of Americans approve of Biden's performance so far. That's up, Steve, a couple of points since late March. The poll actually found that 96% of Democrats and 23% of Republicans actually approve of his performance. And he gets high marks, you know, for the handling of the economy, the pandemic, the health care. I guess they don't take in immigration on the border and everything else of what's going on and some other things as well. That's a high number, considering 120 days in already, and you see certain areas of the country, and I mean, that's a high number to me. What about you?
Here's your deal, Jay. Here's your deal. I'll tell you straight out. You are going to have opposition for Trump. So I have to go back to that. And I see it the Romney-Cheney ticket. I see that Mitt Romney might be the only guy that could come in there if he actually stays to it and isn't so damn spineless, you know, and actually I could see Romney coming in here and saving the Republican Party. He's got to turn the page on his defeats and all the things that he's done that moments. He's like one of those guys that has like a spark. Has like this little spark, and then it goes away. And you go, what happened? Gave a great speech. He was the first guy to come on out against Trump and call it the way it is, a con artist, or this, or that. And then a couple months later, he's sitting there begging to become the a position in his cabinet. I mean, it was disgraceful. So, Romney, get committed. Get back to your party. It's your time. So, Romney, Cheney will be your ticket. I'm gonna call it right here, right now. As far as my man, here's the deal, Joe Biden. He has guided the ship. He has lowered the temperature. He is rational. He is not. I'm not for his politics. Okay, I'm a Republican. All right, I'm not for his politics, but I have never been so proud of a vote that I made. All right, the vote was to get rid of Trump, just like so many Americans did. We got rid of Trump. And we got a guy in there that's actually the president of the United States, Joseph Biden.
Charles, I can't believe what I just heard. Mitt Romney is going to save the party? I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? I mean, if the Republicans are relying on Mitt Romney to come to the rescue, I mean, full implosion, full disclosure. I mean, please. Mitt Romney? Are you kidding me? I mean, come on. Mitt Romney has pretty much, listen, he sunk his own ship many moons ago, remember. And he has never really gotten back to speed, in my estimation. So I think it's a pipe dream to think Mitt Romney can kind of, lead the charge as the masked man on his horse. I mean, there's just no chance, Mitt Romney.
Well, we would hope, right? Because he's, you know, having Mitt Romney is like almost like having Obama back, because they occupy the center, you know, ideologically. Their center, there's really not much difference, you know, between them. It's what the party used to put out. That was the product that they made, right? And in the old days, you used to be able to energize a base that disagreed fundamentally on certain things, like, you know, the issues. If you go back, you remember when we were much younger, things like abortion, busing, you know, taxes, fiscal responsibility. But now pretty much all that stuff is out the window. Abortion doesn't get people off the couch to vote. Fiscal responsibility, that's a joke, because I think everybody's just racing to see, well, you know, how big a check that they can give you and then be against it while the other side is for it. And then once you get it, they take credit for it. This would be true of Democrats or Republicans. The fact is that they have to energize a base, and the crazier the people are. And by the way, this is the media's fault, because that's how they get ratings. Because right now, you can't even watch the news. It is literally, unless you have, and this is a horrible thing to say, but unless you have a war going on, which I don't see any big wars on the horizon, you know, to get CNN out in the desert or in a jungle somewhere, or you have like a mass shooting, no one cares about watching the news. So these guys are stirring the pot, and the MSNBC and CNN are one end of the spectrum, and then you have, you know, Fox and Newsmax, they're at the other end of the spectrum, and I don't know that you can get anything from the media that's true, which is why your job, in particular, Jay, is so important, because I pretty much think that you tell the truth. It's difficult because, you know, a lot of times when we start talking about candidates or politics, you know, these are the same people who you have to interview. And they keep coming back probably because you're honest, regardless of what you say or what you have to draw out of them. It's your job. And I wish the media, and I'm not blowing smoke here, but I wish the media in general could give us a more honest account of what's actually happening and what's important. Because right now, you can't even watch. If anybody actually tries to watch television at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock on the news, it's a big waste of time, because you're not getting, nothing is honest anymore. And that's terrible. Journalists used to make their living on their credibility. Now they would all, if that was the yardstick today, it'll starve to death.
I mean, I've said this all along. That has led to what we are seeing right now in this country as far as division is concerned. Just like you're not getting an honest assessment as far as the pipeline hack, you know, where you had the government issuing an emergency declaration, I guess, to increase tank truck deliveries of fuel to the huge region affected by the shutdown of the Colonial Pipeline. You know, I brought up the 63% of people not aware about foreign policy and this administration as to what's going on here, where you have now a Russian cyber crime gang known as DarkSide, the FBI confirming the attack that forced the shutdown of the pipeline carried out by this gang. And listen, the group claims to be apolitical, says it hacks only for motives of profit. Nonetheless, don't tell me Mr. Putin didn't know about this. Don't tell me there is not a link as far as what's happening in North Korea, Iran, and China. And when I go to foreign policy of this current administration, it lacks as far as any type of substance. So in essence, once again, people taking advantage of the man sitting in the Oval Office. And that's a direct line as far as what's going on. But what happened with this pipeline certainly gives you an indication of what's happening as well, Steve.
100%, Jay. I called this. I hate to toot my own horn, but I've been yelling. World War III has started. Not one bullet has been shot yet. The COVID-19 is the first shot at World War III from our communist friends around the world. While we were sitting there trying to figure out, Trump problems every single day, like being like a bad therapist, the bad scientists, the bad people, the cyber attackers, they were all getting together. And I've been saying this for months. I'm not worried about what's in front of our faces. I'm worried about what's behind door number 2 and 3 that we don't see. And that's the biggest problem I have with President Joe Biden. He hasn't been able to see anything in 47 years. It's hard for me to believe that he's going to be the guy to lead us through that time period. I'm just crossing my fingers and hoping that we get through these 4 years, because we need a much more powerful president that's going to really, I'm sure that Putin isn't really scared of Joe Biden. I mean, he's not really sitting there like Joe Biden's no Ronald Reagan, okay? When Reagan said something, Reagan meant it, delivered it, and was a man in it, you know? And there's been a lot of other presidents like that. The Bushes, you know, even Clinton, even Bill Clinton. All right. I thought was more on the ball. This Joe Biden is a problem when it comes to this stuff, Jay. And this cyber attack is just the beginning. This is just like a little feel me out ceremony here. So I'm very scared of the prospects of this. And I hope that we get this under control, because I think there's a lot more. I think there's a lot more to come in the pipeline.
I kind of agree with you. We're in trouble. But, you know, I kind of look at it like, Charles, Joe Biden is not even calling the shots here. We know that. He's a puppet figure. Who's calling the shots? Is somebody giving the plays in from the sideline to Kamala, who relays it? I mean, come on. We know Joe is not at the helm here. Come on. We know that. It's obvious. So, in essence, it makes the waters even murkier as far as how to handle some of our adversaries here. I mean, that's a fact. And that's a scary situation. And this is kind of the new warfare now. You know, it's not about sending troops and everything else and firing off missiles. This is how it is done now. And it's very hard to pinpoint, but this is the new day and age into this 21st century, Charles.
Well, this is, we've been playing this game with the Russians for a very long time. You know, we blew up their natural gas facility. And I read the book about it, how they did it. This was years ago. They played this game of cyber warfare, and that was classically a governmental operation. And I can't believe that any of these things that are going on now are not you couldn't trace them directly back to Putin's nod. You got to get a nod from this guy. This is not done by any type of there's no oversight, you know, below him where, you know, with a wink and a nod to go do what you got to do. This is everything. Everything traces right back to his okay. Is Biden good? I don't think you can look at Biden for the guidance on this. There's got to be an overriding policy in America, which has been there for a very long time, and there will be retribution. And just because he's not talking a big game, that doesn't mean there isn't a big game being played, because I know for a fact that there is. I mean, you just got to sort of read between the lines here. And again, it doesn't get covered in the media because it's not popular. It's too nuanced. You actually need a brain to know what's going on. You need to know a little history, and you need to know something about technology, which unfortunately the average American is a grade A moron when it comes to these things, and they like their opinion better than the fact. Sorry, America.
Charles and Steve, smart guys. One more before the break, before we give out the coveted Bronze 30 award to those who have stepped in it, folks. We'll tell you who won from last week and the nominees for the upcoming. You know, one of the great stories of this morning, and I was really juiced up by this because, I mean, it couldn't have come at a better time, the Golden Globes, you know, canceling next year's presentation. And maybe 2023, who knows, we'll see what happens. Not enough diversity and everything else. I mean, they're telling you this in May. They have 7 months to fix it. That's not the real deal here. The real deal is no one's watching these shows. The lowest ratings in the history of award shows over at the Oscars on April 25th. Less than 10 million people in this country actually watch that garbage. And it's gotten worse. It's gotten worse and worse and worse. And this was such a... And let me tell you, congratulations to Tom Cruise, giving back your 3 Golden Globes. Well done, Tom. So, in essence, these shows have tanked because nobody wants to listen to the likes of the Regina Kings and all else who come before the cameras and give me their views as far as what's wrong with this country. I don't want to hear that. This was a long time coming. It's not about diversity when it comes to the Golden Globes, although they'll tell you it is. It's about the fact that they can't get viewership anymore. And they got to look at this thing as to why. It doesn't take long to figure it out. But I'm looking at this, Steve, as a welcome type of story on a Tuesday morning, because that's where these shows have gone. In the toilet bowl.
Agreed. Totally agreed, except for one thing you lost me on. The big picture here is, you're right, it's all about the money. And all these stories is like, follow the money. It's unbelievable, but it's true. They're probably, so if they do fix it and they do bring back the Golden Globes next year, does that mean that their ratings are going to go up because everyone wants to see how they handle themselves and if they corrected their misguidances? Is that what this is about? Is this a genuine movement in the right direction? And I say no. And I say Tom Cruise is the most offensive person in this thing. Dumping on everything, giving back his Maguire Award, you know, his Jerry Maguire Award. Oh, my God. You don't think that he waited for like 30 people to go ahead of him, and then he said, all right, I'll take the whole splash. Here's my Jerry. Oh, what a humanitarian. Oh, my God. He's got it right. Oh, you know what? I've had enough of Tom Cruise to last me a lifetime. Seriously, great actor. Stick to acting. Your points on life and movements and this and that and all your gyrations and all your craziness. You're jumping on the Oprah couch. All this stuff to grab a headline. And there's the great Jay Oliver who's going to fall for this? No, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
No, listen, Charles. Quickly, I mean, Groot. Who is going to give you more nonsense on the political landscape? Tom Cruise or Tom Hanks? Come on, Cruise is the least as far as getting political.
No, I'm with
you. So, you know what? I commend the guy. He's giving back the 3 Golden Globes. Who needs them? They're garbage anyway.
No, you know what? Great. You know what? Let him say this. Let him do this. And this goes for everybody in the NBA and the NFL who's taking a knee and all these other phonies. Put your money where your mouth is. You know what you say? You say, you know what? I love that role. You're going to pay me $20 million to do stunts in some Mission Impossible movie. You know what? I'm not taking the role unless my number two guy is an African American or something, you know, or a Latino or somebody that needs, you know, that needs to move up in the ranks as far as action heroes go, right? He's not giving up the money. And then the director, and the producers say, oh, I'm sorry, you know, if we have a black guy or a black woman playing this role, we're going to make 62 less $62 on the movie. Sorry, you can't get the role. Because that's exactly what goes on. They look at the numbers also, Jay. So the minute he says, you know what, if you don't do this, I'm not doing the movie. Go find somebody else. And you'll see what they do. But he's not saying that. He's giving them back some gold-plated or some brass-plated piece of tin from 100 years ago, and nobody gives a crap. Well, it's like, you know what? No, let him put his money where his mouth is. Let him take his next 25, 30, 50, $100 million movie and tell him to stick it.
He doesn't.
Unless, nice. Or else.
Listen
let
to me.
Say that. Then you don't have to
he doesn't.
Impressed.
He doesn't get in your face. Okay, like a Tom Hanks.
Cost some money.
Okay, fact. I don't care what he does on Mission Impossible with the rant and raves and everything else and Scientology. He doesn't get in your face as far as taking advantage of the time at hand, and not like other guys. Okay, that's a fact. Okay, we are ready right now to give out the coveted. Amanda will keep it here, please. If you don't mind, can we have a little sound effect as far as the coveted Bronze 30 Award, ladies and gentlemen. The winner from last week, as far as the nominee, yours truly. I named the state legislature, New York. Congratulations. It's going to be hard to send a whole bunch of Bronze 30s to all of them. Maybe we can give one big one and let them put it somewhere in the chamber. Charlie's pick, Kevin McCarthy, second. Narendra Modi, a distant third. Stephen, I'll start with you for the upcoming, your nominee, sir.
The IOC president, Thomas Bach, and Prime Minister Suga of Japan. The Olympics. We talk about leadership, leadership, leadership. Where's the leadership? Here in Japan, the COVID-19 is all over the place. Osaka, the great woman tennis player who's from Japan, she doesn't even want to play. Nobody wants to play, but yet everyone wants to play. Will somebody please make a decision? We've got athletes, thousands of athletes, judges, officials, media trying to figure this out before July. And no one's figuring out anything. They're still in the parliament pointing fingers at each other. They don't know. Me and you were debating whether or not a 12-year-old should play soccer. And you know what? At least I give those mothers credit. They got together and they got some leadership. They got their jelly donuts together and they made a decision. Make a decision of the Olympics is like an embarrassment. This is like a total embarrassment, not to our country, to the world. This guy, President Thomas Bach, wouldn't even go. He says, yes, let's have the Olympics, but he wouldn't even go to meet up with the Olympic torch. He was afraid of the COVID. Somebody, take a leadership role, please. Either way, I don't care whether you play or not. Leadership, leadership, leadership starts in Japan.
Tom All right. And Prime Minister. In Tokyo, the game's July 23rd, certainly in jeopardy. Charles, your selection for the upcoming season.
As promised, Kevin McCarthy, who's absolutely this is the third time in a row, I think. Kevin McCarthy, because he is absolutely confirming the fact that he is a spineless worm that couldn't lead a bunch of Boy Scouts on an afternoon hike, much less a party into the future. Okay, he's putting up with the likes of that nutcase in Georgia, basically a collection of Barney Fifes with KKK hoods and Confederate flags. You know, collection of morons. They're sinking their own ship and they're too stupid to bail. So once again, Kevin McCarthy.
Good job there. My selection, LeBron James. I mean, can you just play basketball, sir? And stop with some other things that are not only dangerous, but detrimental as far as how people look upon things, most notably our law enforcement officials. LeBron James is my nominee for the upcoming. Charles, Steve, good stuff, WallShineLegal.com. Steve, a quick word on the coveted hoodie. How was that going?
Mr. Hoodie, M-I-S-T-E-R. Mr. Hoodie is coming to a place near you. The hoodies are going good. It's MrDumbull.com. MisterDumbull.com. And they are going great. And they're a beautiful hoodie and a real original.
All right, my friend. And by the way, you can vote as far as the Bronze 30 by going to the LI News Radio Twitter page. Until next week, both of you stay well.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.